Everybody, it's Bina 007 back for a 10-minute spoiler-free movie review, and today I'm going to talk to you about a lovely little arthouse film called Still Life by an Italian director called Umberto Pasolini, who's probably best known to you, if at all, as the guy who produced The Full Monty. This is another British film resolutely trying to depict the reality of life, and it's being marketed kind of somewhat weirdly to my mind as a tragicomic romance. The posters feature Joanne Froggatt, who plays Mrs. Bates on Downton Abbey very prominently. But really, this is more, I think, of a one-man show. And that one man is an actor called Eddie Marzan, and he plays someone called Mr. May. And Mr. May is a very lonely, self-contained man. He works for a local council, local government, and he has an utterly bizarre job. And that bizarre job is that whenever anyone dies on their own, sort of, you know, you read these stories of old grannies who've been alone in their flat for weeks before anyone finds them, he has to go to their house and pick through their belongings and try and track down their family to see if they want to attend the funeral. And if he can't find them, then he needs to sort of recreate their lives from the little things that he can find and create a beautiful send-off for them, a service that only he attends. So it's a very quirky job, it's a very quirky way of life. He's kind of immersed in other people's families in a way, and it's kind of strange because all the way through, when you see him doing this with intense humanity and real care and affection and not a little wry humour, you become very affectionate for Mr. May. And there is an obvious parallel between the lives of the people who've been abandoned and his own life, and you can't but help think of the trajectory that he's on of maybe dying alone too, which all sounds very morose and very miserable. But it's not a miserable film. It's patient and it's elegiac, but there's real heart to it and real humanity. It's really touching and worth seeing. And that character of Mr. May, thanks to Eddie Marzan's performance, I mean, he rarely says anything. But the way in which he communicates so much emotion just through his face is amazing. Anyhow, the lever upon which this film turns is a certain day when, in that kind of rather casually, cruelly indifferent management speak, Mr. May's laid off, he's made redundant. And the final case he has is for a man who died called Billy Stokes, evidently an alcoholic, died in his apartment on his own, but has left a photo album that shows that he obviously had a little girl and a family at some point. And so the second half of the film sees Mr. May sort of trying to trace his way back through Billy Stokes' lives and see Billy Stokes' life and to see that this was a man who was loved but did have his faults, you know, a real human being, pluses and minuses and all, and just how easy it is to take one wrong turn and end up really far and disengaged from all the people who loved you. And it's a very good turn that Mr. May does in trying to discover that. And in doing so, that's how he's going to meet the woman now, who was Billy Stokes' daughter, played by Joanne Froggatt from Downton Abbey. But it's a very small role that she has. She's very good in it, but I don't think one should see this as a romantic comedy in any way, shape or form. In fact, it's a movie that reminded me, I think, more of maybe Ken Loach films, but it's not as grim as that. Maybe Ozu, for those of you who like your Japanese art house films. It's just very patient, very beautifully framed. The choice of how to shoot what might be very everyday urban scenes in South London, but just that choice of how to do it is just so beautiful. And I love how we see Mr. May's life open out a little bit from these very confined, self-imposed strictures through the choice of food. And is he going to dare to have a cup of hot chocolate at a railway station? It's on such small moments, they sound pathetic when I'm talking to you now, but it's on such small delicate moments that this film hangs. And I guess that's maybe the best word to describe it. It's a very delicate, fragile, beautiful film. And yeah, very memorable. Not much happens and everything happens. It's one of those. So I really, really like Still Life. I mean, the only thing if I would criticize is literally in the final sort of 2 or 3 minutes of the film before the end credits, there is a directorial choice that's quite audacious that I didn't quite feel was needed, actually. I think it's quite sentimental. I don't think the film needs that. I think it's engaged us so deeply emotionally by that point. This seemed a little, I don't want to say cheap, because that sounds so derogatory, and I can see that something very beautiful was being attempted, but it just didn't sit with me. Up until those final few minutes, this is pretty much near perfect movie, although, as I said before, it's patient, so I warn you, it's art house, but it's really worth sticking with. Anyway, I really loved Still Life, and I hope you check it out. And if you do, feel free to leave a comment on the blog at beena007.com. And if not, the usual release information after the end music. There we are, the beautiful orchestral score of Still Life, another reason to watch this wonderful film. Still Life has a running time of 93 minutes. It played Venice 2013 and went on release in Italy in 2013, and apparently on limited release in the USA in 2014, which suggests to me it must be available there on DVD. It will be released in the UK and Ireland on February the 6th, this Friday, and is really worth finding if you can. Thank you for listening.